Here. Amen. All right, go ahead and take your Bibles out here tonight. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter number 3 here this evening. Continuing on studying through the Old Testament, we're going to be looking at the book of Numbers, chapter number 3. And as we've seen in the first two chapters, the book of Numbers is all about numbers. And so we've been looking at some secondary things that we see in those books as well, some principles that you see all throughout the Bible. You know, just because on the surface it may seem like it's just a book that's all about just numbers, the Bible does say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so even the book of Numbers is good for doctrine, the Bible says. And there are many good doctrines that you see there, and we'll see some more here in Numbers chapter number 3 here tonight. And so look at verse number 1 of Numbers chapter number 3, and the Bible says this: "These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that the Lord spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest office. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai and had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest office in the sight of Aaron their father. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him, and they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation, before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the children of Israel, to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons, they are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be, I am the Lord." Let's stop reading there. And of course we see here, the rest of this chapter is going to go on, and it numbers the tribe of Levi, and then it also goes through the different families of the tribe of Levi, and it describes what service that they're going to have in the tabernacle, what they'd be taking care of. For example, down in verse number 25, the Bible says, "In the charge of the sons of Gershon, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall be the tabernacle and the tent, the covering thereof, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." So it goes on through the rest of this chapter to number the tribe of Levi, and then also to describe specifically which family would be taking care of what items of the tabernacle. But then back in verse number 12 and 13, we also saw this, and we saw this emphasize also in the book of Exodus, how that the Levites, they did not have inheritance of the land. Now, the land was divided 11 ways. Do you remember how it was divided 11 ways? You have, let's get this straight, you have 11 tribes, don't you, of the tribe of Israel. The Levites do not have inheritance of the land, but the land is still divided 11 ways. Anybody remember how it's divided, still divided 11 ways? There's one tribe that is basically split in half. Anybody remember what tribe that was? Joseph, the tribe of Joseph. Remember, Jacob, when he blessed Joseph, he gave him a double portion, and his sons Ephraim and Manasseh, of course, are both part of the tribe of Joseph. But when it comes to the inheritance of the land, Manasseh would be given their own separate inheritance, and then Ephraim would be given theirs as well. And then the Levites had no inheritance of the land, but rather they belonged to God, and their inheritance was the service of the tabernacle. And in their service to the tabernacle, God would provide for the Levites through the tithes and through the offerings everything that they needed, because they did not need land, did they? Sometimes you may be tempted to think, well, that's kind of unfair to the Levites, but really it's not unfair at all. It was a blessing to them. They didn't have to go out and work in the fields and hoe the land and grow the crops and herd the sheep, because they didn't need land for that, because God provided for them out of all the tithes and the offerings. They were provided for with the things of the service of the tabernacle. And in verse number 12 and 13, the Bible shows us, you remember when the Israelites, when they came out of the land of Egypt, how that God sanctified and hallowed the firstborn to himself. You remember with the when they were in Egypt, how that the angel of the Lord passed over the land of Egypt, and all those that did not have the blood on the doorpost, that the angel did not pass over their house, but rather went into their house and killed all the firstborn. But of the tribe of the tribes of Israel, when they had the blood over the doorpost, he passed over it. And that was the first Passover, and God sanctified unto himself all the firstborn. Well, instead of taking all the firstborn to be his priest, he then allows the firstborn to be redeemed by the Levites, and the Levites take the place of the firstborn, is what you see in verses 12 and 13. But look back at verse number 3, and the Bible says there, in fact, go down to verse number 4. And the Bible says, and Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord. Notice, why did they die? When they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. Now, we saw this as well in the book of Leviticus. In fact, let me just read it to you. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter number 10, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now, there's a principle that we see here in the Bible, is that God does not just offer sacrifices that he has not commanded us to give to him. And by the way, what we'll also see in the Bible is that even the sacrifices that he commanded the children of Israel to bring before him, if they were not living a holy and a righteous life and obeying the commandments of God, God did not accept their sacrifices. And listen, this is a principle that the world has completely lost, and that many churches have lost, is that we must worship God according to how he has told us to worship. You know, the Bible says in John chapter number 4, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God says, if you're going to worship him, it's not just worshiping him in spirit, but it's also worshiping him how? Well, the Bible says also in truth. The Bible says that we ought to worship God in the beauty of holiness, because if you just choose to worship God however you want to, your worship, your sacrifices will not be accepted. How many times do we see somebody out in the world today, and many times when we go door knocking, I've ran into many people that will tell me, well, I just worship God however I want to. I don't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites at church, and the church is just completely hypocritical, so I just don't want to go there to worship with them, so I'm just going to stay home and worship God however I want to. But listen, while they're saying that, many times they've got a beer in one hand, a cigarette in the other, and as soon as I walk away, I guarantee that they're cursing up a storm. They are not worshiping God in truth. And if we're going to worship God, we need to worship Him according to what the Bible tells us to do and according to how God has showed us how. Now, go to Jude chapter number 1 and look at verse number 11. Jude chapter number 1, look down at verse number 11 when you get there. And go near the end of the Bible. Jude comes right before the book of Revelation. There's only one chapter, Jude chapter number 1. Look down at verse number 11, and the Bible has to say this. And it says, woe unto them, for they have gone the way, notice this, of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, what does the Bible mean by they have gone the way of Cain? Well, who was Cain? Anybody remember? Cain was a murderer, but before he became a murderer, who was Cain? Cain was the son of Adam and Eve, the brother of Abel. And if you look back in the scripture, in fact, let me just read you a little bit of the story there. In Genesis chapter number 4, the Bible says this, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So right there, the Bible shows us in the very beginning of the Bible, it shows us a principle there that you see all throughout the Scripture, that if you're going to worship God and bring an offering before God, it needs to be an offering that is acceptable unto Him. And what does the Bible tell us there? In verse number 5, it says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now stop reading there. If you continue reading through there, you'd see the story how that God tells him, Cain, if thou doest well, should not your sacrifice, your offering be accepted? You see, if he would have done well according to what God had commanded him, his sacrifice would have been accepted. But he was not obeying the commandments that God had given unto him. You notice, what did he bring as a sacrifice? Well, Abel, he brought the sacrifice of a lamb, but Cain brought what sacrifice? Of the fruit of what? The fruit of the field, the work of his own hand is what you see there. And so what do we see there? A principle that's taught in the Bible from the very beginning is that God would provide himself a lamb. You see, no matter, you say, well, the herder, the sheep herder, he provided that himself because he had to work for that lamb as well. But let's get the picture here. Did Abel create the lamb? Or who did? God did. But it was Cain who grew the fruit of the field of his own hand, and he offered of the works of his own hand the sacrifice that was not acceptable unto God. And because he had sin in his heart, his sacrifice was not accepted. Now listen, this is something that you see all throughout the Bible, is that our sin will separate us from God. In fact, the Bible tells us what kind of sacrifices in the New Testament are acceptable unto God. Anybody remember? How about Romans chapter number 12? Anybody remember what that chapter says? I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So the Bible says that we ought to present our very bodies a sacrifice that is holy unto the Lord. And listen, our sins can separate you from God to the point where God will not hear your prayers. Now listen, the world will tell you, and these false prophets will tell you, well, God always hears your prayers. But is that what the Bible says? In fact, let's just look at the Bible and see what the Scripture says. Go to Isaiah chapter number 1, and look at verse number 10. Hope you have your fingers ready here tonight. I'm going to show you a bunch of scriptures on this subject here this evening. But look at Isaiah chapter number 1 and look at verse number 11 when you get over there. Isaiah chapter number 1 comes right before, Isaiah comes right before Jeremiah. So that ought to give you an idea of where it's at. If you've been here on Sunday nights, you should be familiar with where Jeremiah is. But go to Isaiah chapter number 1 and look at verse number 11. And the Bible has to say this. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the callings of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. So notice, these new moons, the Sabbaths, these things that God had commanded the children of Israel to bring unto Him because they were regarding iniquity, sin in their lives. It is their sin that has separated them from God, and this sin has caused even their sacrifices, notice what the Bible says, caused their sacrifices to be iniquity, the Bible says. So even though they are offering sacrifices, God says, your sacrifices are an abomination, that it is iniquity. And it says even the solemn meeting, look at verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul does what? Hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Did you notice that? What did God just tell them? That because of the sin that is in their life, that when they make their prayers, what did God say? I will not hear you, the Bible says. Look at verse 16. Notice what He wants them to do, what He requires them to do. Before He can accept their sacrifices, they must do this. Look at what the Bible says. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So listen, what do we see here in this portion of Scripture? What does God want the children of Israel to do? What does He require them to do? If their sacrifices are going to be deemed acceptable unto Him, they must be what? They must be holy. They must be sanctified. They must be set apart. They must be clean. And listen, it does not matter how much they purified it on the outside. If they regarded sin in their heart, God would not accept their sacrifices and God would not hear their prayers until they turned back to Him and did everything that He said. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms chapter number 66, verse number 18, He says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So did you hear that? All throughout the Bible tells us that if we have sin in our life, if we allow sin in, if we know that we're living in sin against the commandments of God, God will not hear our prayer. Now listen, this needs to be a lesson to every single Christian out there tonight, because we have a whole nation and churches that are full of Christians that are praying to God that God would give us a godly president, that Trump would be a godly president, that Trump would win and Clinton would lose. But while they're all excited about the election, they're not going soul winning, are they? And listen, if you're a Christian and you know that you ought to be going soul winning and you don't, the Bible says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin.
So listen, is there anything that is more good, more righteous than to tell somebody about the Lord? To show them the way of salvation? That is the first works that the church ought to be doing. And so all these Christians that are praying for the election, that want to stand up together, want to have their prayer times, and are praying for revival, if they're not obeying the commandments of God, and they are regarding iniquity in their hearts, God does not hear them. Listen, if we want our nation to be exalted, well then what does the Bible say? Righteousness exalted the nation. If we want our sacrifices to be accepted, then what does Romans chapter number 12 tell us? To present our bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So what is that talking about? What's talking about living a holy life? That we need to live a righteous life. If we want God to hear our prayers, then we need to be living according to His Word. Because if we regard iniquity in our heart, it will keep us from having a strong prayer life with God. Look back at what the Bible says. In fact, go to Jeremiah chapter number 6. And look at verse number 19. Turn to your right in the Bible. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 6. Again, just want to emphasize this point to you here this evening. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 6 and look at verse number 20. And the Bible has to say there in Jeremiah 6 verse 20, it says this. It says, "To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish." Turn over to chapter number 11. And look at verse number 14, chapter number 11, verse number 14. And the Bible says there in chapter 11, verse 14, it says this. Therefore, notice this is a commandment that God gives to Jeremiah. And notice what God tells Jeremiah. "Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me, for their trouble." So notice, what does he say? Hey, in the time of their trouble, don't pray for these people because I'm bringing my judgment upon them and I will not hear. And he tells Jeremiah this a couple times in the book of Jeremiah, that he's not to be praying for this people for their good. Why? Because he says in the book of Jeremiah that they have rejected God. That God sent unto them Jeremiah, he sent unto them the prophets, he told them to choose the way of life, to choose the right way, to ask for the old path. And yet they replied back to God, "No, we will every man do according to the imagination of our hearts," and they rejected the word of God. And therefore, because they rejected to the word of God, the nation of Judah came to the point where their prayers would not be heard by God. Now, this should be something that is frightening to a Christian, isn't it? For God not to hear your prayer, because if God does not hear your prayer, that means you've got God's judgment upon your life. That means that you have been living in such evil and wicked sin that God says about those things, it's an abomination unto Him, that He hates those things, and He's going to bring His judgment upon you. And in order for Him to hear your prayers, you must first turn back to God. In fact, go to Proverbs chapter number 1. And look at what the Bible has to say there. Proverbs chapter number 1. Turn to the left in your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs. And again, this is in the first book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is a book that is written for what purpose? Anybody know the purpose of the book of Proverbs? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 1 to do what? To give us what? The short answer. To give us wisdom, to give us knowledge, to give us understanding, to give us discretion. And so that's the purpose of the book of Proverbs. But look down at verse number 24 and look what the Bible has to say. "Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also," notice this is God speaking here, "I also will do what? laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. Notice this. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Now, what does the phony prophet tell you? Hey, if you just seek God at any time, you'll always find Him. Now listen, these people have rejected the Word of God to the point where He says, hey, when you seek me, you'll not find me. When you call upon me in your trouble, in your calamities, I'm just going to laugh at you. I'm just going to mock you. I will not hear your prayer. Look at verse number 29. It says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So who is it that's going to have the blessing of God upon him? Him that does what? That hearkens unto the Lord. The one that hears the Word of God and obeys the Word and applies it to his life and becomes not just a hearer of the Word, but a doer also. The Bible says that that man shall be blessed in his deeds. So listen, our nation tonight, can our nation possibly be blessed by God? I mean, the way that our nation is living, when we have disregarded the Word of God and disregarded the commandments of God and turned away and refused all of His counsel, and we have gone against God's Word and murdered babies and everything that the nation is now doing, can we possibly be blessed by God? And the answer is, according to the Word of God, no. And I fear that the nation of America has come to the point where God will not hear their prayers. And if we haven't come to that point, we're very close. And it won't take much to put us at that point, because the nation of America is not even ashamed of the sin that they're living in. Let's see, let's go to another place in the Bible. Go to Isaiah chapter number 59 and verse number 1. Again, just want to show you how many times this is mentioned in the Bible, because even independent Baptists would tell you, hey, if you just seek the Lord, God will always hear you. But listen, there comes a point when it becomes too late. When God says, no, you have rejected all my counsel, you've refused it, you would not hear, I sent you the prophets, I sent you the preachers, and you would not hear it, and because you would not hear it, now you cut off. Now you reprobate. You can be cut off and rejected by God. Look at what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 59, and look at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter number 59, verse number 1, the Bible says this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. So listen, is God powerless to save? Because listen, when you talk to people about this, even preachers out there today, and you mention the reprobate doctrine to them, that people or even countries can become reprobate to God, well, they'll just say, well, that goes against the ability of God. It has nothing to do with the ability of God. God is always able to save if He so chooses. He is always able to hear if He so chooses. But look at what the Bible says. Isaiah 59, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But, notice, what is it? Is it about the ability of God, or is it about us? Look at what the Bible says. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. So listen, there comes a point when you have so much sin in your life that it's not about the ability of God. It's not about that. It's that He chooses not to hear. And listen, this is where many nations are, this is where many people in the world are, when they have disregarded the knowledge of God and they have said no over and over and over and over again, that God chooses to give them up to a reprobate mind. Listen, why do you think it's so hard to lead an older person to the Lord? I mean, listen, usually the people that we lead to the Lord are usually younger people, aren't they? Why is it you hardly ever see an older person get saved and trust Christ as their Savior? Well, because all throughout their life, they have disregarded the knowledge of God. They have said no and refused God over and over and over and over again, that they come to the point where their heart has ceased from them hardening their hearts, and gets to the point where even God may harden their hearts against the gospel. Because listen, you see that in the Bible, don't you? One good example of that is whom? How about Pharaoh from the Old Testament? Remember Pharaoh in the land of Egypt? How that he hardened his heart against God? And finally, it was God that hardened his heart. He got to the point where he disregarded the knowledge and the reproof of the Lord, to the point where God said, okay, that's enough. Now I'm going to harden your heart. Now I give you over. Look back where the Bible says. In fact, go to the book of Hosea, chapter number 8, and look at verse number 11. Hosea, chapter number 8, verse number 11. Go ahead and turn there. While you turn there, by the way, talking about all this, if it is your sin that separates you from God, well, what is it that allows you to have power in your prayer with God? Well, the Bible says in James chapter number 5, verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's the prayer of a righteous man, the Bible says, that availeth much. If you want your prayers to be heard, and if you want them to have power with God, and if you want God to hear your prayers, then you need to be a righteous person. Now, am I telling you you have to be perfect? No, I'm not telling you you have to be perfect, because there's not a one of us that is perfect. But you ought to have your heart softened to the Word of God, where to the best of your ability, you are abiding by the laws of God. And when you know you have sin in your life, then you repent of that sin and get it right with God. And when you do that, the Bible says that God is always faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Look at what the Bible says in Hosea chapter number 8. And look at verse number 11, the Bible says, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. So he says, not only am I not going to hear you and accept and not accept your sacrifice, now I'm going to remember your sins, he says, and now he's going to visit them. What does he mean by he's going to visit them? Whenever you see that term in the Bible, what is God talking about? He's talking about bringing judgment upon people. You see it all throughout the book of Jeremiah, how that he says he's going to visit his people. He's bringing judgment upon them. Look at verse number 14. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. So listen, this is over and over and over again. This is just a few examples in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about how that our sins and iniquities can separate us from God. Now, what would the unlearned and unstable say about everything I've just said here tonight? Well, they'd say, well, Brother Joe, that was just Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament and things are different. Well, really? Let's just look at what Jesus Christ said. Go to Mark chapter number 12 and look at verse number 32 and see what Jesus Christ said there. Go to the book of Mark and look at chapter number 12 and look down at verse number 32. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 32, and the Bible says this. In the book of Mark chapter number 12, look down at verse 32, and the Bible says, and the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. In fact, let's go back up a couple verses. Go up to verse number 29. And Jesus answered him, First of all commandments is here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, notice this, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after durst ask him any question. So what do we see there in the Bible? That this scribe, he says to Jesus, what does he say? That to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, that and to love thy neighbor as thyself, that this is more than what? Than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So no matter how many sacrifices or offerings you give to God, what is more than all that? What does God require? Well, God requires righteousness of His people. He requires them to be a holy people, to be a people that is set apart, to be a people that is sanctified unto Him. In fact, we see this principle back in the book of Numbers, because what does God tell Moses? That he is to separate the Levites unto Aaron, and they are separated for the service of the tabernacle, and they are to cleanse themselves. In fact, you'll see later on in the Bible, if you read throughout the scripture, that there are times when the children of Israel, they wander away from God, and the Levites, when they come back to God, the Levites had not cleansed themselves, and so those Levites that had not cleansed themselves and purified themselves, they could not partake of the offerings. They could not partake of the sacrifices because they were considered unclean, and they were unholy. Remember, God tells them in the book of Leviticus, dealing with the Levitical priesthood and talking about how that they are to be separated unto God, that they're not supposed to drink mingled wine, mixed wine, that they're not supposed to have woolen and linen clothing mixed together, worn into the tabernacle. He says, what is the purpose of that? That ye shall teach my people the difference between clean and unclean, the difference between holy and unholy. And it is sad today that God goes through all of this in the Old Testament. Excuse me. Goes through all of this in the Old Testament and verifies it in the New Testament, though the Old Testament has changed some, but He verifies in the New Testament that we're to be a righteous people, a holy people, separated unto God, and yet Christians today can't put a difference between the clean and the unclean. They don't put a difference between the holy and the unholy. If they did, they wouldn't be having trunk or treats at their churches. They wouldn't be practicing Satan's holiday on October 31st. They would be separated from those things that are unclean. They wouldn't be going and drinking wine. They wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing, or wearing the clothing that they're wearing, or listening to the music that they're listening to, if they knew the difference between clean and unclean. And why is it that they do not know the difference between those things? Well, the Bible says that good meat belongeth to him who is of a good old age, the Bible says. And it goes on to say, and to those who by reason of their senses and by reason of use can discern both good and evil. So the Bible says you'll be able to discern good and evil by doing what? By using your senses to discern them. What senses is he talking about? Well, he says good old meat. When the Bible talks about meat, what's it talking about? It's talking about the meat of the Word of God. That if you'll put the Word of God to use in your life, and if you'll use it on a daily basis, that you will be able to discern between good and evil. But it's no wonder Christians today can't discern between good and evil, because they don't use the Word of God on a daily basis. They're not reading it. They're not studying it. They're not memorizing it. And because they're not putting the Word of God within them, they can't discern between good and evil. That's what the Scripture says. So listen, what do we need to do? We need to put a difference between good and evil, the Bible teaches us. And the Bible shows us that no matter how many offerings and sacrifices we offer up to God, they will not be accepted if we're not living that good and righteous life before God, because those are the sacrifices that He now requires. See, it doesn't matter how many hymns you sing to God, or how many times, or how many services you come to church. That's part of the commandments, yes. But listen, if you're not living a holy and righteous life at home, then that will keep you and separate you from God, and God will not hear your prayers, the Scripture says. In fact, go to 1 Peter chapter number 2 and look at verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 2, look down at verse number 5, look what the Bible has to say there, and the Bible says this, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Now, what kind of spiritual sacrifices is he talking about? Well, he says in Hebrews chapter number 13, he says this, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." That's the way that they live their life. It says, "Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, for God forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." So what kind of sacrifices is God well pleased with? Well, not just with offering praise to God with our lips. Hey, everybody does that, don't they? I mean, lots of people do that. They'll offer praise to God, but how are they living their life? Because the Bible says, "Forget not to do good and to communicate." That if we do that, if we are obeying the commandments of God, that if we will do that, those are the sacrifices that God requires of us now in the New Testament. You see, we're not going to the temple to offer up rams and bullocks, are we? In fact, we already saw in the Bible that God was not pleased with those things. If God was pleased with those things, why did He send His Son to die on the cross? You see, those things could never put away sin. And God would never be pleased with those. And it only put off their sin for a season until the time of reformation came, according to the book of Hebrews. And that time of reformation was Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, that He put away our sins. And listen, because He has put away our sins, the Bible tells us that He came to deliver us from this present world. What did he mean by that? That we don't have to live in sin. That we can be free from bondage. That we can be free from sin. And how are we going to be free from sin? Well, the Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, it all goes back to knowing this book, doesn't it? The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You want faith? You want wisdom, you want knowledge, you want patience. I mean, just name the character and all the characteristics of God that are in the Bible that we can have. Faith, patience, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith, the fruit of the Spirit. And where does it all come from? From the Word of God. From the fruit of the Spirit. And listen, we must be walking in the Spirit, and part of walking in the Spirit is putting the Word of God within us. And if we're going to know the difference between clean and unclean, between holy and unholy, then we must know the Word of God. Not have a casual acquaintance with it. Not just pick it up on Sundays when we come to church. You just pick it up on Sundays, and the only knowledge that you ever learn from the Word of God is when you come to church on Sundays, you won't be able to tell the difference between good and evil. You will be overtaken in your life. But if you're going to know the difference between good and evil, then you need to have your senses exercised by reason of use, the Bible says. And how do you do that? By putting it to use. By putting the Word of God to use in your life. If you're going to offer up those sacrifices that are acceptable unto God. Go back to the book of Numbers, and let's finish it, close this out here tonight. We'll close with the book of Numbers. So again, in the book of Numbers, we saw there, and Nadab and Abihu, they offered up this strange sacrifice to God. And because they offered up this strange sacrifice, a fire came out and devoured them. Now, could you imagine that? Now listen, don't you think the children of Israel, after seeing that, don't you think certainly that they would have obeyed God? Certainly they would have heeded God. After seeing all these miracles they've seen, and after seeing God's judgment upon those that complained in the wilderness, and seeing how that the earth opened up and swallowed hundreds of men that had rebelled against Moses, and after seeing this here, where the very priest of God, when they offered sacrifice, offered up this incense that God commanded them not, and God comes out and just devours them with fire. Don't you think they'd have the fear of the Lord? I think I would, but the children of Israel, they didn't. Look back where the Bible says, let's finish out the book of Numbers. And look, not the book of Numbers, chapter number 3. That'd take a long time to finish out the book here tonight. Look back at the book of Numbers, chapter number 3, and look down in the scripture. Let's finish out this chapter. Look down at verse number 42. The Bible says, and Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward, and of those that were numbered of them were 22,213. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites. So get the picture here. There were more firstborn numbered in all the tribes of Israel than there were Levites. Each Levite was to be redeemed for one firstborn. Okay? So there are more firstborn. So for those that there's more over an abundance of the firstborn, look at what he says. Verse number 47, thou shalt take 5 shekels apiece by the pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites, the firstborn of the children of Israel, took he the money, 1,303.5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. So all those that were not redeemed of the Levites, because there were more firstborn than Levites, then they had to pay money for each firstborn, is what the Bible is showing us here. So what is the Bible showing us? That all the firstborn are redeemed by the Levites. They're redeemed by the temple. And that's a great picture of the New Testament, isn't it? Because who is our high priest? Who is it that has redeemed us? Just as the Levites in the Old Testament, they redeemed all the firstborn. Well, we have been redeemed by Christ. And Christ is our high priest. And he has entered into a temple not made with hands. And he has redeemed us to himself. We have been bought and paid for. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? And so too were these bought and paid for in the Old Testament, weren't they? Bought and paid for by the Levites, bought and paid for by money. And listen, we were bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ by his blood. We were bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ in that Judas sold Jesus for 30 shekels, for 30 pieces of silver, the Bible tells us. And so listen, we've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. And because we've been redeemed by Christ, we ought to walk like those who have been redeemed. The Bible tells us that we ought to walk according to the Spirit. Let's end there. We'll end in a word of prayer here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in the Bible tonight. I just ask that you'd help us to take these things, to apply them to our lives, Father. Help us to continue to learn, to grow, that we would be studying in your word, that we would apply it to our lives. Help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers also. Father, I ask that you be with us on Saturday and Sunday with the Soul Winning Marathon, that you would prepare the hearts of the people that we'll speak to, and that you would bless us, Father, and allow us to see many people saved, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, we're dismissed here tonight.